Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutalay Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavari Pashatare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 45, Verse 14. Mayi mṛtya upāsīne bhavato vibhūrādayaḥ balim haranti avanatā kim utānye narādipāḥ. Mayi vritya upasine bhavanto vibhudadhayah palim haranch avanatah kimutanye naradipah. Mayi vritya upasine bhavanto vibhudadhayah balim haranj avanata kimutanye naradipa. Mṛtye, as a servant, upasine, am present, bhavata, to you, vibhuda, demigods, adayaha, and so on, balim, tribute, haranti, will bring, avanata, bowed down in humility, kimuta, what then to speak of, anye, other, nara, of men, adipa, rulers. Translation, since I am present in your entourage, as your personal attendant, all the demigods and other exalted personalities will come with heads bowed to offer you tribute. What then to speak of the rulers of men? Purport, Lord Krishna again assures Ugrasena that he should constantly take the throne. Text 15 and 16. The Lord then brought all his close family members and other relatives back from the various places to which they had fled in fear of Kamsa. He received the Yadus, Rishnis, Andakadas, Madhus, Dasarhas, Kukuras, and other clans with due honor, and he also consoled them, for they were weary of living in foreign lands. Then Lord Krishna, the creator of the universe, resettled them in their homes and gratified them with valuable gifts. The members of these clans, protected by the arms of Lord Krishna and Lord Shankarshan, felt that all their desires were fulfilled. Thus they enjoyed perfect happiness while living at home with their families. Because of the presence of Krishna and Balaram, they no longer suffered from the fever of material existence. Every day, these loving devotees could see Mukunda's ever-cheerful lotus face, which was decorated with beautiful, merciful, smiling glances. Even the most elderly inhabitants of the city appeared youthful, full of strength and vitality, for with their eyes they constantly drank the elixir of Lord Mukunda's lotus face. Then, O exalted Parikshit, the Supreme Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, along with Lord Balaram, approached Nanda Maharaj. The two lords embraced him and then addressed him as follows. Text 21, Krishna and Balaram said, O Father, you and Mother Yasoda have affectionately maintained us and cared for us so much. Indeed, parents love their children more than their own lives. They are the real father and mother who care for as they would their own sons, children abandoned by relatives unable to maintain and protect them. Now you should all return to Vraja, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. purport, the Lord here indicates his desire to satisfy his dear devotees in Mathura, Vasudev, Devaki, and other members of the Yadu dynasty, who for so long had been separated from him during his stay in Vrindavan. Thus consoling Nanda Maharaj and other men of Raja, the infallible Lord respectfully honored them with gifts of clothing, jewelry, household utensils, and so on. Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with affection upon hearing Krishna's words, and his eyes brimmed with tears as he embraced the two lords. Then he went back to Raja with the cowherd men. Purport. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has written an extensive purport to this verse, elaborately analyzing this portion of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Just as a man places his valuable gold within fire to reveal its purity, the Lord placed his most beloved devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, in the fire of separation from him in order to manifest their supreme love. This is the essence of Acharya Vishwanath's comments. Since I am present in your entourage as your personal attendant, all the demigods and other exalted personalities will come with heads bowed to offer you tribute. What then to speak of the rulers of men? So here we have Krishna in the presence of the Yadus, who are his relatives and who understand Krishna as Supreme Lord and also the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And we also have Nanda Maharaj and all the elder cowherd men and the cowherd boys as well, along with Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram, of course, are the Supreme Lord. And the two groups of people, the Yadus and the Brajabasis, especially Nanda Maharaj, they have some relationship by blood, more or less, as we can say, I guess, half cousins or whatever. So they do have a relationship, but nevertheless, in terms of love and rasa, they're actually quite different. Though they both have Krishna and Balaram as their son, and Nanda Maharaj and all the elder cowherd men think of Krishna as their son, and all the people in the Yadu dynasty also think of Krishna as their son, and they are related by blood also. Still, the sentiment of love is quite different. And as the last verse that I read points out, Vishnu Chakravarti has pointed out here that he actually points out that the Brajavasis are ultimately designated as the supreme devotees because of their intense love. So even in the spiritual world, and when Lord Krishna appears in this material world with his devotees, we have to expect different types of devotees. And that means different types of love. And that love also we can, in one sense, categorize as, let's say, more intense and less intense. We cannot say inferior and superior in one sense, because all love of Krishna is wonderful. But nevertheless, we categorize them in Sanskrit. It's called taratamya, or differences, or degrees. There's a taratamya. Just like we have different devotees, uttama devotees, and madhyam devotees, and kanishna devotees, according to their attraction to Krishna. Even though all devotees are nice, still we classify them. So we also classify the Siddha devotees, the sadhana siddhas and the nitya siddhas, we also classify them. But of course, that's the spiritual world, so we may say, well, that's, you know, materialistic to say inferior, superior in the spiritual world. Yes, it is. But nevertheless, we also classify God himself. We say Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. Everybody else is less than that. So even in God, we have some sort of taratamya or differences, which is obvious because they have different forms. Lord has different forms, so there must be some sort of difference there in one way or another. So among the devotees also. So though everything is wonderful in the spiritual world and God is one and he has no difference between one form and the other, and all the devotees are wonderful, and they're all equally involved in prema. Still, objectively speaking, there is some differences there. So therefore the acharyas have analyzed these different degrees of devotees. This is done quite extensively in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and also in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And of course in the Bhagavatam itself, we see here in this case there is difference between the devotees. And of course most of the analysis of in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Laghu Bhagavatamrita come from the Bhagavatam by showing the different types of devotees. So all devotees are wonderful, but nevertheless we'll have different types of devotees in different intensities of love. Broadly speaking, the devotees in Vraja are considered the supreme devotees, and those in Mathura are considered a little bit less, and then even the sentiments in Dwarka are considered to be of lesser intensity. So in Rupa Goswami says that the form of Krishna is called Purna in Dwarka, and Purnatara in Mathura, and Purnatama in Vraja, which Purnatama means the most perfect. Purnatara means more perfect, and Purna means perfect. So Krishna, of course, is always perfect, and he's Swayam Bhagavan. But yet even Krishna is Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama, good, better, and best, so to speak. Even though he's already Swayam Bhagavan. He's Swayam Bhagavan in Dwarka, he's Swayam Bhagavan in Mathura, and Swayam Bhagavan in Vraja, but yet he is Purnatama in Vraja. So also the devotees follow after that, and we could say the same thing about the devotees. The devotees are Purna in Dwarka, Purnatara in Mathura, and Purnatama in Vraja. Now of course Mathura and Dwarka are more or less the same devotees are there, but in Vraja, different devotees. We have the Vrajavasis there who are cowherd people. So these devotees are considered supreme. And now even among the Vrajavasis, then we will get difference again. So we start with the Shanta devotees, then we come to the Dasya devotees, and then we come to the Sakya devotees, the cowherd boys, then we come to Vatsalya, the elders, and then we come to the Madhurya Rasa and the Gopis. And the Gopis are considered the highest among all the Vrajavasis. So we have, again, difference there. And actually, Lord Chaitanya's, one of his missions was to show that the highest type of love is the Madhurya Rasa, conjugal rasa. And he himself comes in the mood of Radha, and displays directly to the material world the idea of the what a Madhurya Bhakta is. So Lord Chaitanya also indicates this and directly through his own appearance. So we have different types of devotees. So in this whole lila, where Krishna finally leaves Vrindavan, and all the people are trying to hold him back, and the gopis are throwing themselves under the wheels of the chariot, and they're a little bit torn because they cannot show their love explicitly because everyone else isn't supposed to know about it. All the other Vrajavasis aren't supposed to know. And at the same time, they love Krishna so much they have to do something to stop him. So it's a little bit difficult for them. And so they cannot contain themselves, and they can't even hide their love from other people, and they began to go into all sorts of sattvika bhavas of separation and throwing themselves down and trying to prevent Krishna from going. At the same time, they can't speak directly to Krishna. It's a very, very difficult situation. And not only them, of course, Mother Yasoda. She doesn't go with Krishna also. Only the elders, men go to Mathura. And the cowherd boys go, where the gopis stay, and all the other women stay. So all of the other women and Mother Yasoda also feel separation. Actually, even when Krishna is in Vrindavan, when Krishna goes out in the morning to herd the cows and the calves, then Yasoda and Nanda They begin to feel such separation from Krishna as he goes out with the cowherd boys. They can hardly live. Huh? And they think we should bring him back. We shouldn't take him out there. We shouldn't send him out after all. Huh? And they walk along behind Krishna. All the people in Raja, they're all walking behind Krishna as he goes to the field with the cowherd boys. And they're walking, walking, and walking together. And then finally Krishna tells you better go back now. And then all day long they're worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying. What has happened to Krishna? We shouldn't send him out. There's demons in the forest. His feet are so soft they will get cut on the grass and stuff like that. Huh? And then they're waiting and in such anxiety. And then finally, when it's time to come back, they all climb up on the roof and they're waiting and they're looking in the distance. And when there's a little bit of dust coming up from the cows, then they get real excited and they wait for Krishna. And so this happens every day. So when Krishna goes to Mathura, they don't know if he's going to come back or not after a few days. A few days separation is like very fearful for them. A few hours is painful for them. But if it's a few days, when Krishna says, I'll come back in a few days, then they really have great anxiety. So that was so for all of the women of Raja, because they all stayed back. The cowherd men and the cowherd boys went, but they didn't go. So all the women were completely overcome with separation. And so Krishna stayed a few days, and then he killed Kamsa, and all the cowherd boys were very happy. And then Krishna satisfied the people of Mathura and Vasudeva and Devaki, etc. And it's described here all the other people could come back. So then Krishna felt obligated that he had to stay there, not just a few days, but a little bit longer, because he had been absent from his parents and they hadn't seen him for 10.5 years. So he had that obligation. That's natural. But at the same time, he also has his obligation to the Vrajavasis because they had raised him for the first 10.5 years. So, and at the same time, of course, before this time, Nanda and Yasoda and others did not know that Vasudeva had come and exchanged the children, and that actually Nanda's child was this Durgadevi, and she got taken back, and then Kamsa tried to kill her, and she went up in the air. That was unknown. This whole exchange of children was unknown to Nanda and Yasoda. Then they took Krishna, this is our child, only our child. And not that it's actually Vasudeva's child and he's going to come and get Krishna later on. They never had that fear. And when Garga came, he also really didn't reveal that. That's what happened. That actually the children were exchanged and it's not your child after all. So they had no idea like that in their mind. Then when Nanda went there, then of course they said this. Krishna's our child. Which must be very shocking. Krishna's actually our child. Vasudeva's child. He exchanged them or whatever. However, we see that even then, Vrajavasis were not concerned at all. Somehow, they did not accept that fact. Nanda did not accept that fact. And that's actually what's explained here in Vishnu's purports of this section where Krishna is speaking here. And Krishna says, actually, the real father and mother are the one who care for the children, in spite of the fact that the children have been abandoned by other relatives. Those are the real fathers and mothers. So this is the indication to Nanda Maharaj, actually, you're our father. Not Vasudeva and Devaki. So based on this, then Nanda says, see, Krishna says, he takes us as the real parents. We're the real parents after all. So they never really accepted that statement that the children were exchanged and Krishna's actually, Krishna and Balaram are Vasudeva's children. They wouldn't accept that. And later on, when all the Vrajavasis went to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna after many, many years, then again, when Krishna and Balaram met Yasoda and Nanda, they had great happiness, and the intensity of the love was very, very great. Then Devaki again made a little hint like this, that actually Krishna and Balaram are our children. You're showing such affection for them. But Yasoda didn't hear it. She was so intensely overjoyed by Krishna and crying, milk flowing from her breast. That statement didn't mean, she couldn't hear that statement at all. Huh? And they were surprised that their love is so great. Devaki was very surprised that love is so great. It's greater than my love, even though he's my child. Huh? So, what is the real truth? So actually the real truth is Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj. And he's the eternal son of Nanda Maharaj. In the spiritual sky, of course, obviously he must be the son, not a foster son or whatever. Huh? So Krishna is actually the son of Nanda and Yasoda. So that's explained actually in the birth part of the birth leela. And Vishwanath proves that actually he is the son. So actually he was born simultaneously to Vasudeva and Devaki and Nanda and Yasoda. So they both had. So who was the girl child? So actually Yasoda gave birth to twins. Krishna and girl child, Durga Devi, who's the younger sister of Krishna. And Krishna was also born to Vasudeva and Devaki. And then Vasudeva took Krishna across the river. So that would mean there would be twin Krishnas there later on. But we don't see twin Krishnas because the two Krishnas merged together. When he put that Krishna into the cradle, then joined together with the other Krishna. He didn't see, it was dark enough, so he just took the other child, and that was the girl child, and the other two merged together. So therefore, Krishna was actually born to both parents, but externally no one could understand that. So the Vasudeva and Devaki and the Yadus never understood that at all, that he was actually son of both. And Yasoda and Nanda always took Krishna as their child. And it was true. It's not a falsity. It's true. And simultaneously, Vasudeva and Devaki said, he's our child. So he actually was both the child of both of them. And of course, the story is told by Sukadeva that actually both parents had longed to have Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, as their child. So Prishnigarbha longed for Krishna as a child, and Drona and Dara had also longed for Krishna as their child. So he became the child of both, no problem. So in this way, he was actually the son of both Nanda and Vasudeva. Of course, we can also ask, well, how is it that Nanda and Yasoda are sadhana siddhas when actually they're nitya siddhas? And in the Bhagavatam there, Sukadeva explains that previously they were Drona and Dara, and they began meditating and doing bhakti, and then they became Nanda and Yasoda. So that means they're not even nitya siddhas. So apparently, Pariksit was a little bit dissatisfied when he heard that answer. A little disappointed because they were exalted as the greatest devotees, and suddenly they're sadhana, sadhakas, you know, and nitya siddhas. How is this possible? Therefore, explanation is given that they're simultaneously both. So they are nitya siddha, and the nitya siddhas can have amsas, or expansion forms, that appear in the material world. This is quite common. Even Balaram has expansion forms as, you know, Shesha, Ananta Shesha, etc. So even the devotees can have, Nitya Siddha devotees can have expansions. So they had expansions of Drona and Dara. And then when Krishna actually appeared, they merged into the eternal Nanda and Yasoda. And their desire was fulfilled in that way. So that way, so they actually are Nitya Siddhas after all. So anyway, Krishna was merciful to everybody, and he was the son of both Nanda and Yasoda and Vasudeva and Devaki. But the love was different. And even the way the sadhana was done by the two groups of devotees is different. Vasudeva and Devaki, they were doing great tapasyas. It was more like Gyan-Nistra Bhakti. Whereas Drona and Dara did pure bhakti. So we have a difference there also, even in the Amsa forms. So when we have Yasoda and Nanda, their love is Ragatmaka Bhakti. And the love of Vasudeva and Devaki is also very, very wonderful because it's with Krishna, but it's mixed with Aishwarya. Aishwarya Mishra Bhakti. They think of Krishna as Supreme Lord. And the Ragatmaka Bhaktas don't think like that, people in Vrindavan. So mother and father in Vrindavan are considered superior, the Ragatmaka type of bhakti. But one thinks of Krishna as simply one's son. That is considered superior to the love in which that is the idea of Krishna being the son is mixed with the idea he's also God. So, now Krishna is a little bit in a problem here in one sense because he has to satisfy both. Yes, he appeared from Vasudeva and Devaki and fulfilled their desire to be their son, but actually he just left after a few hours and he never came back for 10 years, so he has to come back sometime and actually be their son. So that's why he was apologizing previously that you never had me as your child after the birth, because I was in Vrindavan and you missed all of my pastimes there, so I can never repay you, or whatever he's saying. So at some time he does have to spend time with them, so now is the time actually. So we see that he does actually fulfill that promise, and he spends the rest of his existence, or the rest of his period on this earth with them in Mathura and Dwarka. Not only for that, of course, but also because of his own desire for pastimes with them. In Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna also is full of bliss and happiness. And when he relates with his devotees there, there is complete bliss. So he's also blissful doing that. And he also has to fulfill his other promise that I will kill all the demons and restore Dharma. The Devatas had come to Brahma and asked for this. You should have to kill Kamsa and the demons and whatever. So then the Lord said, yes, I will come. So the Lord has to do that. Now, he did kill some demons in Vrindavan, but there were plenty of other demons around. So they went to Mathura and killed Kamsa and the elephant and the wrestlers. And then still there were more demons. So he had to kill those demons also. The ones that attacked Dwarka later on, Mathura and Dwarka. So he was obliged to fulfill those things also. So he had to stay there, therefore, with the Yadus. But at the same time, he could also not abandon the people of Vrindavan because they were the highest devotees. However, he did leave them for several months. Now, Vishwanath actually says that some people say that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan at all. And of course, there's statements like that. But then Vishnu says, some people say that, but then he doesn't agree with that. Actually, he did leave, and he did separate, but only for 3 months. And then he came back. Why he has to come back? Because he promised. And if he makes a promise to his greatest devotees, he must fulfill that promise. If he breaks the promise to the greatest devotees, then he'll certainly break all the promises to the lesser devotees also. So what's the use of having God who breaks all of his promises? So they're the supreme devotees. And how can he break his promise that I will come back in a few days and he never comes back for, 100 years? It's a pretty bad breaking of a promise to the greatest devotees. So it's a very great contradiction. So that is why he says Krishna did go back after 3 months. So why 3 months? Why not just a few days like he said, after all? So the answer here, of course, is in that this is the last part of that. The example is given here of gold. And to purify gold, you put it and heat it up in the fire, and then the impurities come off, and then the gold becomes even brighter. So, of course, we cannot say that the inhabitants of Vrindavan are impure in any way. But the separation is like the fire of separation. And what this does to the prema, it heats up the that fire of separation heats up the prema to a great intensity. And then we see that purity of that love at that point, the great intensity of that love in separation. Because in separation, the sense of attachment becomes intense. And then it manifests in certain ways, such as sattvika bhavas, all sorts of things. So this is what happened to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They were like the gold getting heated up. So that heat can be created only by prolonged separation. Now there is separation, as I said, every morning Krishna goes out and then the inhabitants are separated from Krishna and like that, and only the cowherd boys have association at that time. But it is in that prolonged separation that we'll see this intensity of love or the purity of the love manifesting. And that manifests the most actually in the gopis. That's the highest and greatest intensity. We see in the Rasalila, in the description of the Rasalila there, that when Krishna disappeared during the Rasalila, there's a whole chapter of description of the the heat of separation, what it did to the gopis. They went mad. Basically, they went mad and they began imitating Krishna and doing all sorts of things. So that's considered actually the highest stage of prema, that is Mahabhava stage. They entered into the Mahabhava stage in separation. All these symptoms manifested. So for the gopis, even hour separation or 30 minutes can do that. The great of that. So what to speak of days and days and months, what that's going to do with the gopis. So anyway, all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan were separated from Krishna for this prolonged period of 3 months. So there was some satisfaction because in this time, due to that long separation and that intense love, Krishna makes his appearance to them. Spurti, it's called, in the mind. So that's some sort of consolation, and it keeps them a little bit satisfied. But still, the actual appearance of Krishna must also be there. So Rupa Goswami explains that in the pastimes of Krishna, there is this separation from Krishna. Of course, separation from birth in one sense, or people that have not seen Krishna and then they meet Krishna, that's one type of separation. And then separation after you've met Krishna is another type of separation. In any case, those who have not met Krishna finally meet him. And once you've met him, then Krishna separates, but then Krishna comes back. So it's not that Krishna never comes back. No, he comes back. So there's always union again with Krishna after that separation. It may be prolonged, it may be short, whatever. So in the pastimes, in this material world, there is prolonged separation. There is no prolonged separation in the spiritual world. Krishna does not go off to Mathura in the spiritual world and then come back. No, he's always in Vrindavan there. And the only separation is a few hours. In the daytime when he goes out in the fields, or when he hides himself from the gopis at night, whatever. But there's no months of separation. So this separation takes place in the pastimes in the material world when he comes here. So why should he do such a thing, and why should he cause such pain? Actually, the gopis actually say this to Krishna when he disappears in the Rasalila and he comes back. They're angry, actually, with Krishna. Krishna's saying, oh, it's very nice. But then they're a little angry. I said, why do you do this to us? Why do you torture us like this? So then Krishna actually explains that the reason is that I want to show the world who are the greatest devotees. And the only way I can do that is by separating myself from the devotees. And then they show the most pure, highest type of love and separation, that intensity. Then everybody will understand these are the greatest devotees. That's what he explained. So then he even did it more intensely when he went to Mathura and he separated himself for 3 months. Why he has to do that? Because he's showing to the people of Mathura, the Yadu dynasty, that the Brajavasis are actually superior. So therefore he sent Uddhava back. And Uddhava he sent because he was his closest friend, and he was a good speaker. He was very intelligent. He could understand everything. He could appreciate the love of the intense love that the Brajavasis had for Krishna. He spoke the truth all the time, and everyone would listen to him. He had authority. So he sent him. And then when he came back to Mathura, then Uddhava said, yes, they are the greatest devotees. They are the highest devotees. And of those, the gopis are the highest. Even I aspire for such love as the gopis. They are the highest devotees. So in this way, Uddhava testifies to the greatness of the Brajavasis and the greatness of the gopis to the not only the Yadus, but the whole world. So that actually was the purpose of that separation. So once that purpose is fulfilled, then Krishna can go back. So then he says, yes, Krishna did this and separated himself for some time to have this great display of separation, ultimately the greatness of their love, like putting fire under the gold. But that separation always ends with yoga. That is coming back. Krishna comes back. So after 3 months, that was enough, and then Krishna didn't go back. And he fulfilled his promise, because he must always fulfill his promise. So he fulfilled his promise to the gopis when he left, and to Nanda Maharaj. Here we see Nanda Maharaj, as Krishna is speaking, said, actually, you are my real mother and father, not them. So in this way, he consoled Nanda, that actually Vasudeva and Devaki, they're claiming to be my real mother and father. Actually, you're my real mother and father. And you return to Vraja now, and we'll come and see you. We'll come back again. We have to satisfy them for some time, then we'll come back. So Nanda Maharaj was satisfied with that. And he went back. Why he's satisfied? Because Krishna promised. So if Krishna doesn't keep his promise there, then what can we believe? So therefore, actually, Krishna must keep his promise there. So Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with affection because of Krishna's words. Krishna said, actually, you're my mother and father, and I'm coming back. I don't really care for these. And actually, in Vishwanath's commentary there, Krishna actually says that, I don't really care for all these people there. I only care for you. Yeah? So this made Nanda Maharaj very satisfied. And then he thought, okay, we can go back. Krishna's coming back. He doesn't think of us as some sort of stepfather and stepmother. He actually has the most attachment for us. He's actually our son. So with tears in his eyes, out of joy, he embraced Krishna and Balaram, and then he went back with the cowherd men. So if Krishna breaks that promise, then it is completely contradictory to Krishna's nature, and it breaks up the expectations of the inhabitants of Raja. So therefore, he says that he did go back. So therefore, Krishna is in two forms. The form that stays there in Mathura and then goes to Dwarka. And the Brajavasis are separated from Krishna for a very, very prolonged period. That's the one we see normally. But Krishna also went back after 3 months, and he joined the Brajavasis again. And then they performed their pastimes ever after, happily ever after. But we can't see that. We don't see that normally. But he did that because he must fulfill his promise. So therefore, after that, then they were united with Krishna again. The only problem there is, well, if that is so, then how is it that the Brajavasis are still lamenting after so many years? So the answer to that is, Krishna divided the Brajavasis into two forms. Forms of separation that we see, and that we had prolonged separation for so many years, and another form of the Brajavasis who are enjoying with Krishna when he came back. So how is this possible? Because it's Krishna. He has got inconceivable potency. He can divide people up or do whatever he wants with everyone. And they're not even aware. The two forms are not even aware of what the other form is doing. That is the nature of Krishna's yoga maya and all of the other shaktis. So one form of the Brajavasis, Yasoda, Nanda, and the gopis are happily with Krishna. Another form of Radha, Mother Yasoda, etc. are there, and they're separated from Krishna. It goes on simultaneously. So in this way, Krishna was able to fulfill expectations of everyone. But he had this lila of separation for, you know, several months in order to increase that intensity of love and show that to the whole world. These are the greatest devotees. So Krishna has a purpose in everything. It's not that he is whimsically doing everything. Everything has a particular purpose. Okay.
Krishna's the only sister, Subhadra. That's Subhadra and Dwarka. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what? How does she know any Vrindavan? How is she known in Vrindavan? What's her role in Vrindavan?
I think she was born later because she's another a younger sister of Devaki, actually. So she was born later, apparently, after Krishna sometime. So when he was in Vrindavan, or when, I don't actually know, but later, actually. Obviously in Dwarka, in Mathura.
So she's not in Vrindavan so much?
We don't hear about her in Vrindavan, no.
I've heard sometimes she's known as Yagamaya, is that she's not
Yagamaya? Sometimes they speak like that, but in the Bhagavatam it doesn't say that. I haven't seen any commentaries of the Acharyas that address her as Yagamaya either, no.
Actually, I read the other day, Prabhupada said that she's Purnamasi. Subhadra becomes Purnamasi.
I've also heard that. But actually, Yogamaya and Purnamasi are identified. I don't know if Subhadra is ever identified with Yogamaya. I can't recall that. But Purnamasi is sometimes identified. That's definitely there. Yeah. Purnamasi actually is quite old.
Yeah.
I don't know how Subhadra can be identified with her. But
anyway.
Of course, we do have expansions and whatever like that, so it is possible. One can expand into the other. In one in Mathura and one in Raja. I've never heard about Subhadra being... There's actually not much written about Subhadra. It's very difficult to figure out when she was born or whatever, but I've researched it, and at least she was the daughter of Devaki. But when and what happened, you know, I don't know. It doesn't really describe. But definitely the twin sister was Durga Devi. Younger sister was Durga Devi. And because she went up in the sky and then she was called by someone named like Chandi Das and whatever, who were all forms of Durga. So that wasn't Subhadra.
Manoharaj, in one of the lectures, Prabhupada is saying, when he is going with his son, the son is saying, "Father, why the moon is going with us?" So in that comment, Prabhupada is saying that when a devotee is chanting, Radha and Krishna are on their tongue. So why is not possible? That means Krishna has got forms even with the each and every devotee who is chanting his holy name. Krishna comes.
Well, yeah, Krishna has got inconceivable power, so... Anyone who thinks of Krishna, then Krishna comes. Yeah? Of course, when we say that Krishna comes or whatever, that's also a bit peculiar because Krishna's everywhere anyway, isn't he? And you know, spirit, where's the spiritual sky? It's not some far millions of miles away, actually. That's a material conception of distance, actually. So a spiritual sky is everywhere in one sense also. Instantaneously you're in the spiritual world from the material world. It's not a thing you go through distance, actually. It's only consciousness. Spiritual consciousness, and then you're with Krishna. Oh, well, Krishna did go for 3 months, that's so. But then he came back. He didn't go for, 100 years away, didn't come back. Yeah? So then he went away. Why? And why he caused that pain of separation, I said here, in order to show the exalted nature of their love. And that would be revealed through prolonged separation. And then everyone would understand these are the highest devotees. and just to do that. So that was the reason. And this only takes place in the, you know, pastimes on earth, not in the spiritual sky.
So was the Picard and the other Picard form were identical?
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore Prabhupada says he enters into the heart.
Yeah.
He goes behind the tree at that time and yeah. Can reconcile the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Situations.
Definitely. It's said many places like that, that their love was more intense because it was not restricted by this idea he's also God.
And does it also mean then the intensity of love for Krishna, that makes the all dissipates with that intensity as well?
Yeah. Sometimes Krishna does display his powers in Vrindavan also. But the intensity of the love is such that it evaporates that feeling. So Krishna shows the universal form when Yasoda looks in Krishna's mouth and she sees the inside Krishna, all the universe is there and everything is inside. The planets are there, the devatas are there, all the mountains and rivers and everything's inside Krishna. She's holding him in her lap. She's looking outside and she sees, this is very astonishing. Maybe he's the Supreme Lord after all. But when she looks at Krishna and she sees him as her son, then suddenly that intensity of her love for Krishna is such that she forgets all that. And Krishna does this kind of as a test. Well, let's see if we can disturb Mother Yasoda. And yes, she gets disturbed, but then suddenly she looks at Krishna with affection and thinks he's in danger, and then suddenly she forgets all that and she thinks maybe the demons are causing some illusion or this and that. And her love for Krishna increases as her son. So therefore, it covers up, the intensity of the love covers up any display of Aishwarya of Krishna. So Krishna must display his Aishwarya in Vrindavan because that form is Purnatama. So it includes all of his powers plus all of his sweetness. It cannot just be sweetness. Otherwise, if Krishna has sweetness but no power, then Vishnu has power and no sweetness, so who is superior? But if Krishna has sweetness and power, then yes, he must be superior. So then he shows both in Vrindavan. But in spite of that, the Brajavasis neglect it every time they see it, and they just think of Krishna as their son. Irrational as it may be, still, they refuse to accept those displays of power of Krishna. When he when he's in Mathura?
Well, I presume so.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So all the gopis and Radharani are sitting there in Vrindavan, and they display all these symptoms of great separation. Yeah.
So I see them just not gopis, actually Radharani.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.